Hey everyone, you're in the right place. You're tuned in to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, where Rick Warren brings you uplifting messages from God's Word every day to help you grow deeper in faith and live with purpose. Well, today we're beginning a powerful series called Toolbox for Life, where Rick teaches four essential skills you need to succeed. Wherever God has placed you, whether it's at home, at work, at school, or in your community, these are tools every follower of Jesus needs. Now let's join Pastor Rick for part one of a message called Ignoring the Naysayers.
You know, there are thousands of self-help books in print today that will tell you this. They'll say, all you need to succeed is desire and determination. There are thousands of books that will say all you need in life to succeed is desire and determination. And I'm here to tell you, that's just not true. It's just not true. I know a lot of people have desire and determination and have not succeeded in life because it's partially true. Of course you need desire. Of course you need determination. But you need more than that. You need the tools and you need the skills to succeed in life. For instance, a farmer can pray all he wants for a giant corn crop, but if he plants the wrong seed, if he uses the wrong fertilizer, if he doesn't give it the proper amount of water, if he doesn't use the right harvester, it's not going to be a big crop, no matter how hard he prays and how sincere he is. And if I'm growing a crop of wheat and I use a tomato harvester, it won't work. And if I'm growing grapes and I use a corn harvester, it won't work. You've got to have the right tools in life to succeed, and you got to have the right skills in life to succeed. Now, this is not what I say. It's what the Bible says. If you look on your outline, the top verse is going to be the theme verse for the next 8 weeks. It's Ecclesiastes 10:10 from the Bible. It's one of my life verses, and it says this. If the axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. I want you to circle the word skill, and I want you to circle the word success and draw a line between the two of them. You have to have the skills of success in order to succeed in life. It's not just good, sincere desire and determination, and, you know, I want to succeed. You have to have the skills. Now let's go back, and I'm actually going to call this a toolbox for life, because that's kind of what it is. It's a toolbox for life. Part of my job as your pastor who loves you is to equip you, coach you, and give you the life skills that you need to be all God wants you to be and all you want to be in life. Now the Bible says, if an axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, more strength is required. In other words, if you're chopping wood and you got an axe, you got a dull axe, it takes more effort. Far more effort to chop the wood. But if your axe is really sharp, it's just not as hard. And then it says skill will bring success. What that verse is saying is work smarter, not harder. I know a lot of people in life who work harder than me. But it's not about working hard. It's about working smart. And it says if you sharpen your axe, then it won't take as much effort for you to succeed in life. You'll have the right skills. Now, anytime you come to church, like right now, you're sharpening your axe because I'm going to teach you some skills that will help you succeed in your life. When you're in a Bible study, when you're in a small group, when you take a course, a class, you're never wasting your time when you're sharpening your axe because skill will bring success. Now, one of the skills, and I'm just going to start with this, and it doesn't have to be the most important, it's just the one I'm going to start with in this series of eight life skills that you need, is learning how to deal with the negative people in your life, the naysayers that want to keep you from succeeding. Now, what is a naysayer? Well, I put a definition there on your outline. Look at this. This is from Webster's Dictionary. A naysayer is a person who says something won't work or isn't possible. A cynic who habitually expresses pessimistic views. How many of you have ever met a naysayer in your life? Raise your hand. Don't look at them, just raise your hand. Okay. You may be married to a naysayer. Don't look at them, okay? a person who's always saying it won't work, it isn't possible, it can't be done. That's a naysayer. Now, everybody who's accomplished anything in life had naysayers in their life. The Wright brothers, when they were starting inventing the first plane, people, it'll never work. You can't fly. Human beings can't fly. When Moses going across the desert, the people are saying, we're going to die in the desert. We're not going to make it to the promised land. When people said, we're going to the moon, people said, you can never go to the moon. Anything great that's ever been done has always had naysayers. Now, let me just start by saying this. The naysayers in your life, they're not bad people. They're not bad people. In fact, there are naysayers in your life who love you. And there are naysayers in your life who actually want what's best for you. They're just mistaken. And the reason why they're mistaken and they say it can't be done and you can't do it and all this is because they don't know what God has said to you. God gave you a dream. I've always wanted to do this. God gave you a vision. God gave you a mission. God gave you a purpose. And he didn't give that dream to somebody else. So somebody else isn't going to understand that dream like you do. So they're going to tend to be negative about it. My life is a testimony of ignoring naysayers. Everything I've done in my life, people said, can't be done. You know, it's not going to happen. You won't do it. I don't believe it'll happen. And I have just ignored those naysayers and gone ahead and done what God told me to do. But they're not bad people. They just don't have the dream you've been given. You know, 35 years ago when Kay and I were finishing my master's and then my doctorate in seminary, we were in Texas, and I felt like God said to me to start a church. And I talked to Kay, and I said, you know, I really feel in my heart, honey, that we're supposed to move to Southern California and start a church with no members, no money, no building. I don't know anybody there, and I've never been a senior pastor. What do you think? Now, my wife was not a naysayer. Actually, Kay said, well, and this is the exact quote, it scares me to death, but I believe in God, and I believe in you, so let's go. I've often wondered, how would history be different if my wife had said no? You wouldn't be sitting here today. There would be no peace plan. There'd be no purpose-driven life. There'd be no Saddleback in 16 locations. If my wife had said no, naysayers can actually stop the will of God if we listen to them instead of listening to God. Sometimes people are good, godly people, and they still don't get it. You know, the Bible advises many times in Scripture that if you're going to make a major decision, you should talk to godly people. You should talk to wise people who've been following the Lord longer than you have. Get their advice. And so when I was thinking about moving to Southern California and start this church, I called up a guy that I had deep respect for. He was a businessman in the Midwest. He was actually a billionaire. But he's a really strong, devout Christian. I had actually been on conferences with him where we spoke together. And I thought, I'm going to call this guy up. So I called this guy up and I said, I think God is calling me, as I just said, to go to Southern California, start a church with no members, no building, no support. I've never been a senior pastor, but I think this is what I'm supposed to do. What do you think? Now, I expected this guy to go, oh, Rick, I admire your deep faith. You are really a man of God. This is really, God's going to bless us. You know what he said? He said, that's the stupidest idea I've ever heard. That's the exact word. Now, I will tell you that about 15, maybe 20 years later, he called me and said, that was the stupidest advice I ever gave, because clearly God wanted a Saddleback church and he wanted to use you to start it. So even the good guys get it wrong sometimes. These are not bad people. They just don't see the perspective that you see. Now, for every person who goes after their dream in life, there are 9 people who are scared to death to do it. All they can see is the problems. All they can see is the negatives. And they're like giants standing in the way that scare them to death. So how do you face opposition and negativity? This is one of the first skills you have to learn as a leader. How to not let negativity get you down. You have to learn this if you're going to be a leader in life. So how do you learn that? Well, fortunately, we got a story in the Bible that tells us and teaches us the skill. It's the story of David and Goliath. You know this story of this little shepherd boy, young boy, who's out tending sheep, and Israel is fighting its big enemy, the Philistines. And the Philistines had a guy who was literally a giant. He was like 8 or 9 feet tall. He was just a big, big man. And he was scaring everybody to death, and he was taunting the enemies. And David says, I'll take him on. But long before that happened, David had to face 4 other giants. And that's what I want us to look at today. Not David and Goliath, but what gave him the courage to take on Goliath, because the 4 giants he faced before Goliath were all naysayers. They were people who didn't believe in his ability, didn't believe in his competence, didn't believe that God was working in his life. And he had to struggle with those before he could go face Goliath. So get out your pencils and let's look at 4 kinds of naysayers in your life, and then how to handle the negativity of the people who tell you you can't do it, okay? If you ever needed to take notes, this is a good week to take notes. Okay, so write this down. Number one, the first negative or naysayer that David had to face was actually his own dad. And so write this down. His dad held him back. That's the first naysayer. And oftentimes, a parent will be somebody who holds you back and keeps you from becoming all God wants you to be. In verses 12 to 15, all these verses are in 1 Samuel 17. It says this. Now, David was the youngest of Jesse's 8 sons. And his 3 older brothers enlisted in Saul's army. Saul was the king of Israel at the time. But David was held back to care for the sheep in Bethlehem. Circle the phrase, held back. Have you ever been held back by anyone? Of course you have. Of course you have. This is the first barrier to your dream. When somebody holds you back, it's a delay. Now, some of you have been held back because of your age. Some of you have been held back because of your gender. You're a woman. Some of you have been held back because of your race. Some of you have been held back because of your ethnicity or the color of your skin or the language you speak. You may have been held back because you weren't as educated as somebody else. You weren't promoted because you didn't have something that somebody else had. You all remember this in school. There were people who were more athletic than you. There were people who were more musical than you. There were people who were more academic than you, and you felt held back. I'm sorry. I am. As your pastor, I'm sorry. The fact is, everybody in this room has faced some kind of discrimination at some point in time, and there are naysayers who will tell you, you can't do it, you're not the guy, you're not the right person, you're not good looking enough, you were held back because of your appearance. Everybody has faced this. And sometimes it will actually be people who love you. A husband, a wife, a mom or dad, a brother, a sister, somebody in your family, a friend. David's dad wanted David to be a shepherd for the rest of his life. And yet David had already been anointed as king. Now the first barrier in your success plan, write this down, is delay. Because when God gives you a dream, it never, never, never happens instantly. He gives you a dream. He says, this is what I'm going to do in your life. And then there's a time lapse. There's a waiting period. There's always a delay where God is getting you ready while he's getting the plan ready for you. This is the first barrier, the delayers in your life who hold you back and keep you from moving forward. David's dad didn't think he was old enough or even experienced enough to go fight on the battlefield with his brothers, or for that matter, even be king. Now, let me tell you a little backstory on this. The first king of Israel was a guy named Saul. He's king right now. Before he's even dead, God tells Samuel, who is the prophet, the holy man of Israel at that time, says, I'm going to tell you who Saul's successor is, and I want you to go anoint him as king. And he says, I want you to go to the town of Bethlehem to a guy named Jesse and ask for his sons. So Samuel goes to Jesse and says, God's told me to come and anoint one of your boys as the next king of Israel. And so Jesse brings out his 7 oldest sons, parades them by Samuel. You know, nah, not that guy. No, God says no to that guy. Next, and, you know. And he's going, no. And he gets to the end. He goes, you got any other sons? And David's dad thought so little of David. He goes, oh, yeah, well, I got the runt. I got the baby. He's out in the field playing with the sheep right now. And he goes, bring him in. And he brings him in. And he says, Samuel goes, that's the guy. And he anoints him as the next king. Now, David's just a young boy. There are many, 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 many years and many, many problems between when God tells David, you're going to be eventually the king of the entire nation. And when he actually becomes king, there's always a delay. So his dad held him back. Now, the second naysayer actually was the society around him or the culture around him or the conventional wisdom, the popular opinion. Write this down. Number two, everybody else was afraid. And that fear held David back. Everybody was afraid of this guy, Goliath. The prevailing view in Israel was that this giant who was on the opposing team, Goliath, was unstoppable, that he was unbeatable. And Goliath had created this climate of fear and culture of fear, and everybody said, it can't be done. This guy cannot be taken down. He's just too big. And so everybody in the nation was discouraged because they got a secret weapon. They got this giant guy, and we have nobody. Now, here's the second thing that will hold you back, and that is discouragement. The first is delay, and it could be a parent who holds you back. And the second is discouragement. And that's when everybody around you thinks it can't be done. Everybody around you thinks it's impossible. Everybody around you is living in fear. And this can come, discouragement can come from anywhere. Verse 8 to 11 says this in the Bible. Each day, Goliath would stand and shout at the ranks of Israel's army. Why do you come out here and line up for battle? Goliath says. Choose one man to fight me, and if he's able to kill me, then we'll become your subjects. But if I kill him, then you will become our subjects and serve us. So he's saying, look, let's not even have a battle. Let's just do mano a mano, one-on-one, man-on-man. You pick your best guy. Take your best shot at me. Whoever wins will own the country. Day after day, Goliath taunted them, saying, this day I defy the ranks of Israel. Now when Saul, that's the king, and the Israelites heard this, everyone was deeply shaken and paralyzed with fear. Now, notice the situation here. One guy is creating a climate of fear in the entire country. It's demoralized everybody. They're gripped with anxiety. They're terrified. They're traumatized. Nobody is willing to do anything. They're all paralyzed by fear, hopeless, so frightened they can't do a thing. Have you ever worked in an office like that? Where everybody, there's a culture of fear in an office. Everybody's so afraid of making a mistake that the big guy, the boss, will can you, will fire you. And this climate of fear in grip, so nobody has any new ideas. Nobody even tries anything in the office because everybody's afraid of losing their job and they're all just trying to protect their turf. Sounds like a lot of places where people work. And people go, well, there's nothing we can do. This was the prevailing opinion. This was the conventional wisdom. This was the prevailing mood of culture. It's a problem too big. Nobody can solve it. Now, I want to tell you something. Conventional wisdom is often wrong. The majority is often wrong. Public opinion is often wrong. Majority doesn't make something right. There's a lot of things our culture believes that aren't right.
What a fantastic message from Pastor Rick. You know, Daily Hope is changing lives every day. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Hi, everybody. You know, God often uses the hardship in our lives to prepare our hearts for his message that he wants to give us. And that's what a woman named Deanna believes happened when her world just collapsed all around her. Deanna wrote to me and saying this, Pastor Rick, it's been on my heart to send you this thank you. I hit a very low valley in my life, and I finally figured I must be doing life wrong. I had lost my job. I lost my husband, and I almost died from birth complications. I went from a high-paying, high-profile, white-collar job to picking up cigarette butts and vacuuming construction job sites to support myself and my son as a single mom. But I started listening to your Daily Hope podcast on the way to work, and I later listened to all that I could during my time vacuuming and cleaning. One day, on my way to work, driving up a mountain road, going around a corner, I heard you give a call to anyone who had not yet given their life to Jesus. And you know what? I prayed with you that prayer. And Jesus has been in my heart ever since. And I am so grateful. It actually is bringing tears to my eyes. Deanna, did you know God created you just in order to love you? And he's so pleased to accept you into his forever family. In fact, the Bible says that the angels had a party in heaven when you opened your life to Christ and received him into your life. And guess what? I'm celebrating with them right now. Welcome. You're now my sister in the Lord, and I'll see you in heaven, if not sooner. Now, I want to thank all the rest of you who support Daily Hope, because it's because of your support that Deanna was able to hear the Daily Hope messages while driving in her car. You know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be really fun to meet all the people who are there because you helped share the gospel with people all around the world through Daily Hope. So thank you, friends.
We sure hope you've been encouraged by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. And if you have, would you consider supporting us? Just go to PastorRick.com. Again, that's PastorRick.com. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.